Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day.
It is good to be with you as we look into the living Word of God, this incredible book which has been used by faithful servants of God through many generations. It is humbling to think about all the others who have learned from and studied Jesus on these pages. What a privilege we have to open it and allow God's Spirit to guide us. The title for our lesson comes from the last verse of Mark 7, where many were astonished and said, "He does all things well." This was a fitting description for what Jesus was doing right before their eyes. And it is a fitting description for what Jesus is doing right now for you and me. And thankfully, praise God, we can also know this will be said of him in the future. Jesus is supreme in goodness and power. So yes, he does all things well. He always has and always will.
There was once a mythical king named Midas. He ruled Phrygia, an ancient kingdom in Asia Minor. And the gods granted him a wish that everything he touched would turn to gold. But you know, it didn't take long until he regretted asking for that, because when he reached for his food, it turned to gold. When he raised his cup to his lips, even the wine turned to gold. And then later he touched his daughter, and she turned to gold. That was a bitter reminder of his foolishness. As you might imagine, he was devastated. So when someone has the Midas touch, everything they touch turns to gold. That is, speaking figuratively. I had a friend like that when I was a teenager. He excelled at whatever he attempted to do. And yet, as successful as he was, I couldn't say about him, "He does all things well." In fact, there's only one person of whom that can be said, and it is the Lord Jesus. And that phrase is part of our text today from Mark chapter 7 and verses 31 to 37. I've taken that phrase for the title of my teaching, "He does all things well." Listen to God's word, Mark 7, verse 31. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." These closing verses from Mark chapter 7 show us the ways in which Jesus does all things well. The first way is he responds to faith. In our previous episode, we read about Jesus leaving Israel and traveling to Tyre in ancient Phoenicia. Mark describes Jesus' itinerary like this. He left Tyre, he went north to Sidon, he made his way east, came back south, and then back up to the Sea of Galilee. So the trip took the shape of a horseshoe and covered almost 200 kilometers. So we have to ask the question, why did Jesus do this? Why did he take this circuitous route? Well, one possibility is that he wanted to avoid the territory of Herod Antipas. He was the one who had executed John the Baptist. And you may also recall that Jesus had been seeking time to rest and to teach his disciples without interruption. And at every turn, he had been hampered by the overwhelming needs of the crowds. And so by taking this route, he would have had time with them. One critical detail is that he went from one Gentile area to another. He had honored the faith of the Syrophoenician woman by casting the demon out of her daughter. And now he has moved to Decapolis. That was a group of Greek cities in what is now modern-day Jordan. The text informs us that a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment was brought to Jesus. This deaf man had severe difficulty speaking clearly, so people could not discern his words. and his friends begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man and heal him. It's interesting, but Mark is the only gospel writer who records this incident. We might ask the question, why? Well, there is a clue in the original wording of the Greek New Testament. The word that Mark chose under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is used only one other place in the Bible, in the Septuagint, that's the Greek translation of the Old Testament. In Isaiah 35:5 it says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." Now maybe you're wondering what's significant about that. Well, if we took time to read Isaiah 34, we would see a graphic picture of God's judgment on Israel because of their sin. And God's judgment would make the land utterly desolate. In fact, the prophet said it would be inhabited only by animals. Then, Isaiah begins chapter 5 with a dramatic message of hope. All this desolation would not be permanent. Isaiah promises the supernatural restoration of the land and the rejuvenation of the people in the Messianic age. Now, although that rejuvenation did not occur during Jesus' earthly life, there were glimpses of that glory in his ministry, and I believe the healing of the deaf man is one of them. If you were to read Isaiah 35, you would recognize a familiar spiritual concept. Salvation is of the Jews. Remember, that's what Jesus told the Syrophoenician woman. But then Isaiah makes it clear that while salvation comes through the Jewish Messiah, it is available to all who exercise faith in him. That is the message that Mark is communicating to us. Jesus responds to those who exercise faith in him. Indeed, he does all things well. And then another way Jesus does all things well is he respects feelings. You know, as human beings, we are very much aware of our weaknesses and our disabilities. In fact, we try, if we can, to hide those things from other people. But this man couldn't hide his disability. It was too obvious. So rather than make a public spectacle of him, Jesus took him aside privately. Now, because the man is deaf, Jesus uses sign language to show him what he's going to do. He first of all puts his fingers into the man's ears. And you know something? By touching this man, Jesus immediately became unclean, according to Jewish law. The discussion of uncleanness at the beginning of the chapter is the context for this miracle. And then Jesus spit on his hands and transferred that spittle by touching the deaf man's tongue. Now we may think that sounds awful, sounds gross, but I learned that the rabbis of that time universally recognized the use of saliva in cures. This use of Jesus' bodily fluid in physical healing may foreshadow something greater. A more significant spiritual healing that would come about through the shedding of his blood. And then looking up to heaven, Jesus groaned, and he said, "Ephphatha, be unbarred." Why do you think Jesus groaned? Was it grief over the effects of sin? Was Jesus thinking ahead to that time when everything would be made perfect? At any rate, the immediate result was that this man could hear perfectly. His speech impediment also vanished, and he was able to speak plainly. Can you imagine the weight of shame that lifted from this man at that moment? You know, I suspect that people who tried to understand this man before he was healed gave up in frustration. He, too, was likely frustrated by his inability to communicate clearly. His previous disability was so apparent that there was no possible way to hide it. But now it was gone. But there's a more significant healing that takes place. This man exercised faith in Jesus and he was physically healed, but I believe he was also spiritually healed. Because Jesus' ministry was holistic, he came to minister to the whole range of human need. And I am sure this man eagerly told anyone who would listen what happened. Not only was the shame of his disability removed, but the shame of his sin was removed too. And this is what happens to every genuine, born-again Christ follower. Before the Holy Spirit opens our understanding, we are as deaf to the Word of God as this poor man was deaf to all verbal communication. And until the Holy Spirit cleanses our hearts and our souls, what we have in our mouths is mere filth, The poison of asps is under our lips, the scripture says, and our tongue utters blasphemy and poison. Yet Jesus respects our feelings. He cares. Now, surely Jesus didn't have any disabilities, but he knows what shame is, because he hung naked and exposed on the cross of Calvary, bearing the guilt and the shame of your sin and mine. Like this man, we can be set free from the shame of our spiritual disability. Indeed, Jesus does all things well. And then there's a final way that we want to look at. He requests anonymity. Mark closes this account by writing, "Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it." Why did Jesus issue this command? Well, when you reflect on the ministry of Jesus, you get the impression that he didn't look for publicity. A servant shuns publicity. He performs his duties in a way that makes his master look good, and yet he rarely receives public recognition for his service. He doesn't expect a compliment or special favors when he does what is required. You might recall that John the Baptist modeled this spirit when he said, "He, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease." That is not how you and I often act. We want people to notice what we've done, and we hope they'll compliment us on our excellent work. This is one reason why I believe God rarely bestows the gifts of miracles and healing on people today, because the temptation to pride and undeserved credit is enormous and is often too much for people to overcome. The closing verse of our text says, "And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Now, we may misread this as a momentary expression of wonder at what Jesus had done. However, that would be misreading the text, because the grammar indicates that these statements came from individuals who had reached a settled conviction. Now remember, these are Gentile people living in what is considered a pagan land, and they became outspoken followers and supporters of Jesus. They were fully convinced that he does all things well. Does your life experience and testimony confirm that Jesus does everything well? I know, it doesn't always feel like that when we're in difficult situations. However, in those times, Jesus responds to our faith in him. And Jesus respects our feelings too. Feelings sometimes get a bad rap. But the writer of Hebrews states that we have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus respected the feelings of this deaf man, and he respects your feelings too. Today, Jesus no longer requests anonymity, but he calls you and me to serve him in ways that cause people to focus on him rather than on us. May our lives reflect him so clearly that even unbelievers will confess, "He does all things well."
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing this teaching with us and showing us three ways Jesus did all things well. When you and I look around now, we can see more than three ways Jesus is doing all things well. Let's be faithful and praise him for this. We don't want the rocks to cry out, so may we worship and exalt him. If you have any questions about today's lesson, or if you'd like to contact us, you can contact us by email or online. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, and our website is heraldsofhope.org. Through every circumstance, we believe God is doing all things well. How this can be is not always obvious to us, but we believe and move forward with the faith expressed in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. God bless as you walk with the Jesus who does all things well.